first and foremost, I'm going to take, listen to me. People are going to make fun of you no matter what. The internet is mean. People are harsh. And if you go through the comment sections of videos, you will see that. Do not be afraid just because somebody's going to leave a negative comment. Post. Don't be afraid, because if it's something you're interested in doing, then you might actually be good at it. And you won't know if you don't try.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. In this episode, we have Brandon Jacoby, famous for his TikTok page, Sergeant Knucklehead, a National Guard recruiter. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you could make it in. I think I first stumbled upon your videos on TikTok, gosh, just earlier this year.
Yeah.
And they're funny as hell.
Thank you. I try. It's fun. I enjoy doing it. Something I started a few years ago and kind of just stuck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think from there, I tried Instagram. I think I went to Instagram, followed you there, because mm-hmm. I think Instagram is more, I don't know, not professional.
That's the word I was going to use, the professional, because, I mean, a lot of people go to that. I don't agree, though, only because, like, the reason people say that is because the hype, the negative stuff that TikTok gets because of the issues it's had, where they almost banned it a few times.
Yeah.
Oh, Japan owns it, or China owns it, or whoever owns it. And it just caused issues there. Like, as a recruiter, I'm not allowed to use TikTok to recruit. So I just use it for content.
Okay.
But everyone's like, yeah, Instagram is where the professional people go to use. Honestly, social media is social media. So it doesn't matter what platform, I use it all. And
yeah.
To include Facebook and YouTube. But I don't post as much on YouTube.
Okay.
But yeah,
you got it all covered.
Yeah, I try, but yeah. It's a lot.
It is. Oh, yeah, you don't got to tell me. I know. Yeah. It's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff people don't see. Like, sure, you put out this viral hit or this great episode for a podcast or something. It's like, you don't realize the hours that went into
it. The hours.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're going to have to do it again. Like, yeah.
Right.
So there's a lot of people that become so famous off one video. They get all these followers, and then they're like, they have nothing after that.
Yeah.
Like a one-hit wonder, and they're like, what do I do now? I don't know if I can top
that. Can you repeat it?
Like, being able to repeat viral videos is challenging.
It's tricky for sure.
And it's stressful.
Yeah.
Because you're like, man, I want to get viral, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. You got to keep trying.
Exactly. Yeah, and I don't think it was until my brother-in-law, shout out to Phil Barry if you're listening, because he works with Matt Zechman at Kelowna Coffee Roasters. Yeah. And he's like, hey, here's the number for Sergeant Knucklehead. And I'm like, you're not going to believe it. Like, I was just trying to connect with him on social media, you know? So, like, talk about small world.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, because I started work with him. Phil's a cool guy. And working with them with the coffee has been a good experience.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It's really cool. So, they reached out to me. Hey, since we're local, they knew I was local. And they're a local coffee roaster. They were like, hey, let's sit down and try to see if we can come up with a coffee for you. And I'm like, wow, that's something that you didn't ever really see on social media, somebody having their own coffee. I mean, obviously you have Black Rifle Coffee and stuff like that, but
yeah,
I was like, sure. And then they talked about, hey, it was really good. It's really good coffee. Like, my wife loves it. She can't get enough of it.
Okay.
But they put my picture on it and my logo, and I'm like, wow, this is really happening. And then they actually told me, well, we can donate, like, some of the money gets donated to military pet shares. So at first they said, like, I think $2 or $3, and then they were going to give me $3 or $4. And I'm like, no, I don't want money. Let's put it all to, so all the money gets donated. So, like, I think we've donated over $400 so far.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you find them, or did they find you, or how
they
come found,
out? They reached out to me.
Okay.
I think Matt reached out to me because he's a medic for the guard. So he reached out to me on, I think it was TikTok first, or either TikTok or Instagram, I can't remember. And he put the little birdie in my ear, and then I talked to my wife, and she's like, yeah, this sounds like a good idea. And I went and met up with him. We hung out for a bit. He showed me the stuff he does. He's like a mad scientist when it comes to coffee.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
It's insane. Like, the amount, you can tell he's really passionate about it. So, yeah, that's where it is. And now We're looking to kind of go a little further with it. I want to order some stickers, and what we're going to do is, because he always leaves a little note on his labels when he mails the coffee out to people. So yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to sign mine, the front of my coffee, and then leave a sticker with it too for anybody that orders. Just kind of an extra incentive.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not going to cost any extra money. It's right, just, right.
But that goes a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a personal touch. A little
personal touch added to it. Yeah. So I think that's important.
Yeah, and Clinton Coffee Roasters, they are a sponsor of the podcast. So shout out to Matt. Again, great guy. He was on an earlier episode of the podcast. And you're right. I got to see like behind the scenes of his operation.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, the stuff he knows.
I'm supposed to... Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to go roast with him. It's just trying to figure out a time. Like, I feel like my schedule is so... And his is crazy, too. So trying to... On Tuesdays is when he roasts, so we're trying to pick a day where I can go actually roast my own coffee.
Oh, nice. So that make some content.
Really cool, yeah. We're going to make content and just go from there. I think it'll be a good day.
Sweet. So let's go, Brandon. Let's peel back the layers. Where'd you grow up? What was your early childhood like?
Oh man, so I grew up here, well, in Jonestown, Pennsylvania, which is right outside of Lebanon. It's 5-10 minutes from Lebanon. I grew up there. Since I was five. I got adopted when I was five by my uncle, so I'm originally from Seattle, Washington.
Really?
Yeah, I was born out there, lived out there for 4 years, got adopted by my aunt, my uncle. Well, moved out here, then I got adopted. And been here ever since. I think I moved out of state once, and that was with my wife, to New York. But yeah, I went to Northern Lebanon High School, played basketball, baseball my whole life. Both my parents were in the military, so that's kind of why eventually I ended up in. But I didn't join until I was 26. I waited.
Okay.
I had kids young. I was 17 when Michaela was born, my oldest. She's about to be 21. She's basically one of my best friends ever since, obviously, next to my wife. My wife is my number one best friend. Yeah. But like when it comes to my kids, she grew up with me basically, because I was 17 when she was born. And we just grew up. I matured, she matured, and now she's almost 21, so it's crazy to think that that she's almost a legal age to drink.
That's wild.
And yeah, so she's a good kid. She works at an eye doctor around here in Lebanon. She went to college for a bit, didn't like it. My daughter Ari's going to Lebanon Valley College, basically has a full ride there. Yeah, so she's smart. Very smart.
And gets it from your wife.
Yeah. So my son is about to be 17 too. So
dang.
And then I have my 4-year-old, Dominic.
You got your hands full. Yes. At home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. It's tough. It's definitely keeps me busy. But I had to grow up quick. When Michaela was born, I got a job at a warehouse and did that for a while. I didn't want to join the army because my parents were in it and my dad was like top dog when he first got out. When he got out, he retired like Command Sergeant Major of the state of Pennsylvania.
Whoa.
So like I felt like I had to fill big shoes or big boots, as they say, but I just didn't want that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited a while, plus I had kids and I was trying to make sure I could take care of them. But eventually I was going through a divorce and I decided it was time to enlist, and I did it. I enlisted as a mechanic.
Okay. Now, when you say your mom and dad, is that like your aunt and uncle?
My aunt and my uncle.
Aunt and your uncle. Okay.
Yeah, my aunt and my mom was in. She retired a Master Sergeant E-8, and my dad got out Command Sergeant Major. So my mom was in for 20. My dad was in for 39 years.
Wow. Now, an E-8, because I've had other veterans and active military on the podcast, and like, what is like an E-6 or E-8? What do those mean?
E-6 is a Staff Sergeant, which is what I am. E-8 is Master Sergeant. So those are just your ranks, like your pay grade.
Okay.
So you have like your pay grade and your rank insignias. Pay grade would be E-8, E-7. E-7 is Sergeant First Class. That's what the rank is. So my dad was Command Sergeant Major of the State, so he was E-9.
Whoa.
The highest E-9.
I was going to say, is there anything above that?
No.
Wow.
And as far as NCOs go, non-commissioned officers. So now you have officers, and the highest one is the Adjutant General of Pennsylvania. that's who my dad worked for. He was like that person's right-hand man, which back then was General Lynch.
Okay.
So yeah, so that gets, you have your officers and then you have your non-commissioned officers, which is what I am.
Non-commissioned officer, NCO. Okay. So like, what's a recruiter? Where do they start at?
They start at some of them can start as E4s, okay. Which is a specialist, but usually they start E5.
And that depends probably on their knowledge, passing tests and things?
Not really. So, I mean, you do have to pass tests. You have to go to school. Eventually, you have to go to recruiter school. And that recruiter school can be challenging, dependent on if you're good in school or not. But as long as you pay attention, it's pretty easy. But you have to obviously recruit. So you have to meet a quota. So last year, my quota was 13. I got 13 in, so I was good. This year, my mission is either 13 or 14. They haven't really made up their mind yet.
Okay.
What they want from Sergeant Knucklehead.
But yeah. We'll see. When you say 13.
13, one per month. One per month, and then one extra month I need to.
Dang.
Yeah, it used to be a lot. Like, it used to be where people had to get, 10 in a month? Something like that. Yeah.
Holy cow.
But back then, it was easy.
It says 120 in a year, roughly.
Yeah, so it was easy to enlist somebody back then because you didn't have the program that we have now, which is called Genesis, which finds everybody's medical history before you do.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they'll get disqualified.
Somebody's hurt from, like, a football injury or something?
Anything. Like it could go back as far as with shin splints.
Really?
Person will get disqualified for that and need to get cleared for it. Back then, people could hide anything in their medical history because we couldn't look it up.
Okay.
And the problem was that those same people that had health issues before they joined would claim them on the back end of retirement and disability and get 100% disability from the government, even though it was something they had before they joined.
Yeah, but you didn't know. Now you have the software.
Now we know everything.
Wow, that's crazy.
Which makes being a recruiter very, very hard.
Yeah, because I mean, when you said 13, I'm like, okay, maybe he means 13 a month or something.
No, if that was that, I would not want to be a recruiter. Yeah. Not in today's day.
So it's totally different.
Yeah, nobody wants to enlist these days because of patriotism.
Talk about it.
They want to enlist because it's free money for college.
Yeah. They're in it for the wrong reasons?
I'm not saying it's the wrong reason. No, absolutely not. Like, everybody has the reason why they want to enlist. But to have that person who says, hey, I want to join because I want to serve my country, you don't really hear that very often. I mean, it's because these kids see social media is such a huge thing right now. Everybody sees everything going on in the world, and everybody sees people in uniform saying negative things about the military. And that's the problem. That's a big problem, is that instead of saying the good things that we have in the military, a lot of people, because you know the internet loves drama.
Uh-huh.
The internet will thrive when there's drama and people talking negatively about something.
Yeah, talking smack, those keyboard warriors come out. Yeah, yep.
So like the people feed off that.
Yeah, because then it's a hard sell.
Yeah, it's a very hard sell. So like people will just use that. And like, I'm going to get famous by just saying negative things about the military, when there's so many positive things about the military that people just ignore.
Yeah.
I'm not active duty, so I can't speak on active duty. I mean, I know there's a lot of stuff I hear about it, but I'm not in it, so I can't talk on it. But I do know what the National Guard has to offer, and I've been in for 12 years, and I haven't had any bad experiences with it.
Like, wow, 12 years, yeah.
It's been good. I mean, obviously, you have moments that suck. But that's life. That's the job.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the military. Like,
it's not all sunshine and rainbows.
And these kids, I think people expect it to be. And it's not really it. Like, and if you look back at how people were back in World War I, World War II, and the way they had to fight wars and the way they had to live back then, as opposed to now, it's like, y'all wouldn't have survived a day.
No, it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, how different
culture. Yes, it's so different.
People are respect levels.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a saying or some kind of quote or something that it's better to be, how does this go? It's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. You know what I mean? So it's better to be prepared, trained, and rough around the edges,
100%.
You know, in a peacetime than it is to be a gardener going into war.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's that's very true. I like that because that's facts. Like, you should be rough around the edges and prepared because anything could happen at any given moment. And we're soldiers. We have jobs. I'm a recruiter, but I'm a soldier first. Some people take that lightly, or they don't really think of it that way. This is my way to get free college, and that's good. Free college is good because the guard, PA guard alone, pays for all the state schools in PA and all the community colleges for 100%, like 100% of their tuition.
Wow.
So that's the biggest thing we sell to these juniors, seniors, and like early 20s who haven't gotten the experience to go to college yet. Is that we do pay for that, and that's good. But then once they get that training, they realize, oh wow, like after my first contract, I go to college, I can become an officer with a degree. Why not stay in? So like, that's where it starts, is getting them in. But and then they start having fun experiencing what the guard is about, and then that's where they realize, you know what, I'm doing this not because of just free college, I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do. So my son's about to be 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to talk with him a couple times. I don't want to be that parent that forces him to join. I just feel like kids, males, should especially do one contract. That's always been my thought process, only because do your time, get free college, and get a new skill that you didn't have before you joined. And if you decide to get out after your contract, get out. But I'm not going to force him. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's right. Kind of up to him. He wants to go to school. He's talking about Shippensburg.
Okay.
Which is good. I mean, it's a good school. But
definitely.
He's a junior now, so he's kind of like, he's still not quite sure yet.
He's
so,
got some time.
Yeah.
And he'll be here before you know it, though.
Yeah.
So when you talk to him, was he, you know, he wants to go to college. Is there any inkling of like, you know, I want to do what my dad's doing? Or because you said your dad never forced you.
My dad forced me.
Sorry.
He talked about it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, but I think I just rebelled. That's why I don't want to force my son. I just want him to do what he wants to do, because at the end of the day, he's going to do good at whatever he does.
Yeah.
It's just something that I think would be good for him, discipline-wise, and just to kind of put him ahead of his peers, which I think is huge. Like, yeah. For the split option program alone, you can join as a junior, and you go to basic in the summer, your junior year, and then you do the second half of your training after you graduate. So, like, you are already ahead of 90%, 95% of the kids in your high school because you already completed something that a lot of these kids can't do.
Right. And never will.
No.
Never will.
No,
yeah.
No. So that's just something that, like, I think would be good for him. Set himself ahead of his peers. And it's just bragging rights in a way. Like, mm-hmm. I completed basic training. What did you do this summer? Hang out with your friends.
Play Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't do shit.
Didn't
so
do
like,
nothing to advance themselves, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And they could have done something like
and
that.
And I wish I would have done it when I was just younger, because now I'd be probably E8 by now. Because some of the people that joined when we were in high school got out as like E7, E8, and they got their 20 already. Yeah, and that's I have like 8 years left before I hit my 20, which is plenty of time for me to get E8. Which is the plan. I'd like to get out as an E8 before I retire. So we'll see what happens.
When you're young, it's like, you know, that, what is that saying? You're young, dumb, and broke or something like that. You know what I mean? You're not thinking ahead to the future. And it's nice that there are people like you out there, the recruiters out there, to be like, hey, consider this. Like, look at all the benefits of doing it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a mentor, really.
Yeah. So, like, I'm a recruiter, and obviously it's my job to sell, but, like, I wouldn't sell something I didn't believe in.
Oh, you can't.
You can't do that. Yeah. No. But my thought is that I want to get my real estate license so I can, when I do get out, I can sell houses. Because if I can sell the Army, I think I can sell a house.
No problem. You'd be able to sell a house, no problem.
Yeah, I think so.
So to go back, Brandon, with your father always talking about the service and everything, kind of maybe pushing it on you to some extent, what was, I don't know if we discussed it, but what was like the final straw that got you to be like, all right, I'm going in, I'm joining?
My divorce. I was in a bad place, like
mentally,
mentally, not physically, but mentally, definitely. I was working at a place called Schreiber Foods Warehouse, 12-hour shifts.
Ooh.
But I was driving to Jonestown to and from work because I was obviously, I gave my ex everything, just let her have it, and I left. And I moved in with my parents. So I was driving, I'd get up at 1 in the morning, drive to Shippensburg, which is an hour and a half, work 12 hours, 3 a.m. to 3 p.m., and then drive an hour and a half home 5 days a week, 5 to 6 Oof. Days a week. And one day I just was sitting in traffic. I'll never forget, I was sitting in traffic. And I said, I can't do this anymore. And I joined. Well, it took a minute, but about a month later, I joined.
Okay. Definitely a humbling experience, I imagine, you know, it changes everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was young when my parents went through divorce and, you know, love them both. My dad's amazing, my mom. But, like, it's definitely, it changes you, I think, as a person. And
it does.
You know,
it
yeah.
It does. And, I mean, it changed my kids. My kids were young. And that's why, like I'm in a marriage now. We have a child together, and I will do everything I can to make sure that we don't go through that, because I don't want Dominic to go through that. It was one of the worst experiences of my life, just because I never saw my kids. I was paying out the wazoo for child support, and it just was bad. Eventually, once I joined the military, I came home because I was gone for 7 months. Didn't see my kids. I saw them once. It was rough. It was rough. Yeah. But it's all worth it, because now here I am, and I've been able to provide so much more for these kids.
Yeah.
My wife has been a huge inspiration to me, because she was in the military. That's how we met. And she did so well with active duty. She was stationed at Fort Drummond, and she came here to be in the Guard. And she's just the reason why I keep doing what I do, and she's been such my biggest support system. So I really couldn't have done any of it without her. And I know the social media thing drives her nuts sometimes.
Does it?
yeah. But yeah, I try to get her in videos when I can.
Yeah, she's your rock. She is your rock.
She is. Yeah. So like,
what's her first name?
Vanessa.
Vanessa. Shout out to Vanessa.
Yes.
Yeah. I cannot see you working a warehouse job either. I'm just gonna throw
it
out there.
It was. I did it
your
for
personality.
I did it for 7 years, and like my personality has always been this way. And like, I've always been goofy, having fun, but that job, it paid the bills. I got paid really well. But I worked like a dog.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it was in a cooler. So like, it was like 34 degrees, because they made cream cheese, shredded, any yogurt, everything. So
yeah,
I just drove the forklift, picked the stuff, loaded the trucks. And I was like, I am not doing this the rest of my life.
This can't be it, right?
This can't be it. Let's get our foot in the door and do something. And the military was what happened. I almost got disqualified. I almost didn't enlist because I had like 9 speeding tickets. And they said, yo, this dude's crazy. He loves to go fast. And I did.
Yeah.
But funny thing is that after they finally enlisted me, I haven't gotten a speeding ticket since.
Knock on wood. Yeah. Wow. 9 speeding tickets. So that almost disqualified you from even.
Yeah. I had 9 of them. Nowadays, you can have as many as you want. They won't. This, when it comes to traffic citations, they don't care.
They don't care.
It's the other stuff that they'll get you for.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Man, fast and furious over here. Yeah. Holy cow.
Yep.
Gosh. So once you're in, you know, what was the journey like then to become a recruiter?
Well, I started off as a mechanic. That's what I enlisted as, which is a 91 Bravo small wheel mechanic. And I found when I got back from my training, I got a full-time job being a mechanic, which I didn't know anything about being a mechanic until I went to that school. I'd never done anything mechanic wise,
really?
But they were like, my recruiter was like, hey, and when I look back at it,
like what?
I'm like, man, I got screwed, because like I scored really well on my test. And now that I'm a recruiter, I know damn well I would have qualified for a lot better jobs than a mechanic.
Why mechanic? Why?
Because they were like, hey, you're gonna get him. I wanted to be a Chinook mechanic, right? Okay. I wanted to do aviation, which would have been great, but I think my waiver wouldn't allow me to do it, because I had a moral waiver, because I had so many speeding tickets, which is dumb to me now that I think about it.
Yeah, what?
I think they were lying to me about that too. Some bullshit.
Yeah, some bullshit. So, for sure.
No, like I had a 78 on my ASVAB test, which is a good, really good score in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
But I definitely would have questioned it. I should have been smarter.
I thought you were going to say like you're a gearhead, so they put you in as a mechanic.
No, I didn't know shit about being a mechanic. That's wild. I became a pretty good mechanic though, because I ended up doing it full time, so I had no choice.
Right, right.
But not a job that I would ever want to do again. Like, I enjoyed it and I hated it at the same time. And that's why eventually I just kind of, you know, I switched over to AGR, and this is where I'm going to be. Like, I'll recruit for a couple years and then I'm going to switch over to marketing, hopefully.
Nice. But, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. So I ended up recruiting 2 years ago, and it was because I got the team leader of Team Reading at the time. I would talk to him every now and then because he was in the same building I was working in, and he was like, yeah, you should go recruiting Jacoby. He's like, you have the talent. I see your social media. And it took them 6 months to fight from them to let me go. My other job to let me move. They had to do an exception to policy and everything. But finally it happened, and I'm so grateful it did.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember the first person you ever recruited?
Yeah, I do. Daniel Marsh. Yeah, he went to Governor Mifflin High School. He was a senior. We talked a couple times, and I wasn't sure if he was serious. And then he called me one day and said he was. And I got him in boots. It was a process, though, because his parents were real shitty.
In what way? They weren't supportive of it?
No, they just weren't really around. They weren't around. They weren't, it was kind of frustrating. But eventually we ended up getting him in. But he ended up going as a 35 Mike, which is a linguist. But he was adopted, so we had no paperwork, so we had to get a Social Security card, we had to get a new birth certificate, we had to get a new ID, and his parents were no help with that.
Yeah.
And then we had to get the adoption decree to get him a Social Security card. So
it was... Jumping through all the hoops.
Yep, we got it all done in like a week. For that first one. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because I was leaving for school the end of April. And I got him in April 22nd.
That's awesome. Wow. Jeez. You still stay in touch with him?
I haven't heard from him in a couple months because he's in Cali. But he texts me. Whenever he gets opportunity, he'll text me to let me know. But his school is 83 weeks long. So he's actually still there right now. But like it's like a college, a community college, basically. So you go there and he's learning Arabic right now.
Okay.
Wow. Which is crazy. Yeah.
That is crazy.
Something that sometimes I don't think I can speak English. I was going to say, I can't even speak my own language.
Yeah. So like, okay, you recruit somebody. What is like, you mentioned MEPS, like how does it work? What are the steps then for them to work their way up? Just like a brief overview.
So in order to enlist, you go through a couple things, right? So you do the paperwork. And we as recruiters have to make sure you're healthy, basically. And we have a paper, it's form that they fill out, and they have to check each block to ensure that we're not hiding anything medically either. It basically states I'm healthy. Like, there's nothing wrong with me. I never took medication, anything like that. Then MEPS approves them to go to MEPS to do the physical.
And MEPS stands for? Test,
Military Enlistment Processing Center.
Okay.
Or Military Entry Processing Center. But they end up going to MEPS. They take the ASVAB test first, and then they do the, after the ASVAB test, they then do the physical the next day. They'll stay at a hotel. Usually we do it the way, like some people will go up there, take the test, come back and do MEPS physical another day. I try to do it all right away. And get it all done. It just takes about 2 days. You'll go, like right now, I drop these two off at MEPS. They take the test. They stay at a hotel that night. And then they do the physical the next morning. Usually done by 11. And then they'll enlist that tomorrow as long as they make it through medical without being disqualified. Hopefully.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Knock on wood again.
Yeah. You just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But then you enlist, like we do. We have a couple different contracts that they do, either a 3x5 or a 6x2. The 6x2 is the one we usually have anybody who wants the education benefits to that we have them use the 6x2 contract.
Okay. 6x2, real quick.
6x2 means, so it's a total 8-year contract, but 6 where you go to drill and you're obligated to be at drill and annual training. The remaining 2, you're in IRR, which is Individual Ready Reserve.
Okay, just in case.
Basically, if something happens, they can call you back within those 2 years.
Okay. Real quick, let's do a sip break real quick. This sip break is brought to you by Chick-fil-A's sweet tea. As a guy that loves sweet tea, take it from me when I say their signature sweet tea, brewed fresh each day, sweetened with real cane sugar, or left unsweetened, Chick-fil-A's sweet tea is a must-have. Get it today at your local Chick-fil-A.
Give me one second.
Yeah, you want to call? You want to phone a friend? Go for it.
Was I supposed to bring money?
Was that the people dropped off?
Yeah, the food is free. Dude.
Dang, man, you're like not just the dad of your kids, but you're like
I'm a dad of these kids.
Yeah,
it's really how it is. It's crazy to think that way, but I was just talking to somebody about it the other day. Like these people become our kids once we start working with them. It's wild, but it's fun. It's well worth it to me. Some of them can be more annoying than others.
Yeah, more needy.
Way more needy.
Yeah,
and it's like you. And some of them are like grown men still needy.
Dang.
I have a kid, guy who's 25, almost 26, and he is probably the most needy person out of everybody.
Huh. Wild.
Yep.
It's wild. So, like social media. When did you say, okay, I'm gonna jump off and do the social media thing, go all in?
So back in COVID, we were sent. My wife and I were basically working from home. How does a mechanic work from home? We didn't. We drank. I drank my face off. That was when I did become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Because we had nothing to do. I was sitting there at home drinking tequila. Oof. And we went to Blue Marsh Lake, which is in Redding, with my kids one day and my son. Well, they had talked me into downloading TikTok. And I downloaded TikTok. I started watching these funny videos. And then my son, there was this trend going on. I did it with my son at the lake, and it went viral. Huge. It was the stupidest thing. It was like him going like this, like in three different locations at the lake, and it just went viral.
Took off.
And I was like, oh, cool. So where do we go from here? Like that, like I said earlier, like what do we do here now? What's next?
Right.
So I completely decided, like I started seeing people in uniform, like just a few. Back then, there was barely anybody in uniform on social media because we didn't know what we were allowed to do. And I was the first one to start doing skits. And they took off. And I'm the OG of these skits on TikTok. Other people started doing it. It was really cool to see how it grew and how much it's grown now because a lot of people do it. But back then, there was only a select few people that were in the military. And I said, you know what? This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I just viral video after viral video. And before I knew it, I was at 200,000 followers. And I'm like, cool. And every now and then people will recognize me, which was weird.
Was it?
It was weird. But then, like now, at this point I'm at now, I've met so many people and I've learned that you can't trust anybody. You can't trust us. So social media is good and bad. I have met a lot of people who claim that they're fans and that they're there to help, but they just use you like for your following to get themselves bigger.
Okay, to grow it.
And my wife would warn me about that. I didn't believe it because I'm like, yeah, everybody's got a good heart there.
Yeah, yeah. No. Good intentions.
No, they don't. So I really stopped really working with other people because it just, you can't really trust them. But that's the problem is that you just because you know them on social media doesn't mean you know them. I've worked with a lot of people in the last couple of years that I've learned to trust, and it's come a long way. And we're looking to my wife and I are looking to start our own business with it.
Nice.
I started. Yeah, yeah. I trademarked. I'm working on trademarking, which I need to find. I haven't heard from them lately. To find out where we are with the trademarking process, because I paid $1,400 to trademark Go Hard, Go Guard. Then I'm going to probably trademark a logo after that. But the way it's looking is I'm going to work with a friend of mine who they run a business called Goyfn, GOYFN, which stands for Get Off Your Fucking Neck.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like
so
it. Yeah, yeah. What's it about?
Yeah,
tell me.
So it's military stuff that this, like, his name is Coach Truesdale. Well, his name is Truesdale, but we call him Coach Truesdaddy. He's funny.
Okay.
He's funny, yeah. Dude. Really good person. And I actually, funny thing is, I put this like about 2 years ago, I put this group together, this group chat together of people that I felt like were on the same path as me with social media. I watched their videos and I just picked them out. Started a group chat and we all just, it was like the perfect fit. We still talk to this day. We were actually part of a social media team for about a year where we went to Hawaii twice.
What?
Paid for, the Air Force paid for it. We were in Waikiki Beach and then the Big Island.
Okay.
For free. They paid for everything. Food, hotel, car, the flight, everything.
Living the life.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
But they're going to actually help me do a soft launch. So we'll sell about 100 shirts. We'll get about 100 shirts made and sell them and see how well they sell.
Okay.
To see if this is going to take off or not. I feel like it will. With the Go Hard, Go Guard, it's only going to hit with National Guard. It's not going to hit with active duty, which is fine. Eventually I can find stuff that will just be knucklehead, because I do have an LLC that I opened like 2 years ago that I still haven't done much with it because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is something that we want to sit down, my wife and I, and just kind of figure out, because she is my business partner and that's the only person that I really would trust owning a business with, because I know she has the same intentions as me, the same motive as me.
Right.
We both want to do well and succeed together. So she would be the only one I would want to do it with.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. So now the username Sergeant Knucklehead, like, how did that come about? Was it a friend?
No, it was my dad. My dad used to call me Knucklehead when I was a kid all the time.
Okay.
So it kind of just stuck. And one day I was, because I don't remember what my initial name was on social media, but I just changed it. I said, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to need a catchy name. So I was like, yeah, we'll just do Sergeant Knucklehead, and it sticks.
Stuck, yeah.
And now where I go places, I could be in public here walking into a Walmart or Target and people recognize me that weren't even in the military. So that's
your videos and
yeah. And then I go to my son goes to Cedar Crest. All those kids know me. So it's cool. It's like, obviously all these kids know me as Sergeant Knucklehead. They don't know me as Alex's dad.
Yeah, yeah, right.
They're
right.
Just like, hey, Sergeant Knucklehead. I'm like, what about Mr. Jacoby?
Right. Yeah, try that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, when you first like came in and I was writing up, you know, my bullet points here, I'm like, all right, do I call him Brandon? Do I call him like,
yeah, you
call sir? Him you know, no, Mr.
You
Jacoby.
Call
and I'm
call
like,
me Brandon.
Sergeant Knucklehead is just it sticks. It rolls off the tongue. You know,
it does. It does. Yeah, I think it's real catchy, and people have asked me to change it to Staff Sergeant Knucklehead. I don't want to do that. I'm like, I'm still a sergeant, so just let's just stick to Sergeant Knucklehead.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't want to change
a good
thing.
Throwing staff in there.
No, we don't need to do that.
No, it doesn't work.
I think we're good where we're at.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So throughout this journey, who has been a mentor in your life?
It's tough because growing up, my dad was my mentor to an extent. Both my parents were alcoholics. So like, growing up, it was tough, but when it comes to like being a soldier and how I am as a father, I learned from him to an extent. After that, really, I didn't have a mentor for a long time. And then I think I would like to say that my wife is a mentor to me because the woman is more knowledgeable at things and a lot wiser than me, and I didn't really want to listen to that at first. I just didn't like being wrong, but she's always right.
Yeah.
And that's life.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
She's a mentor to me to this day, and she probably always will be. But I've had some great NCOs, leaders above me that have taught me how to be a better soldier. When it comes to social media, I've learned as I go. I don't really have any specific person that guided me through that. I've been doing it
real
myself.
Just spitballing.
Like, I don't write skits, which I wanted to do because I think my content would be a little better if I just wrote stuff, but I don't have the time.
Yeah.
So I just go right off the dome. I improv all the time and it ends up being pretty good anyway. So I've always done it myself. People always ask me, like, what's your thought process and who'd you learn from? I really didn't. I just did it. I just started doing it. But I've learned throughout this whole, through my military career, and I've learned through my personal life that each, it's you kind of take it as you go. That's really all I can do. And I've learned a lot from my wife, and that's really the only mentor I have is her. And that might be weird to say, but that's facts.
There you go. Would you say, like, you know, the COVID era, you know, getting yourself out of drinking, because COVID was wild.
COVID was insane.
No one knew what to do. And,
nope.
You know, what's essential, what's non-essential, and who's to say, I mean, I don't want to get political and all that, but it's like, it was wild times.
Yeah, it was.
You know, it was wild times. So social media really came about, like, your persona of being Sergeant Knucklehead because of that. And then would you say that, like, social media and your family have... Like, because you mentioned, you know, you no longer drink or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that due to social media and what you're doing? Or
I think it's more personal. Like, it's obviously because of discipline. I feel like as I've gotten older that there's things that I do or I was doing that I didn't realize was probably not the best thing for me or my family. And I didn't look at it as a problem. But one day I took a look in the mirror and said that there was things that I needed to change. And I grew up, like I said, both my parents were alcoholics. And what is it? Being addicted is something that runs, addiction runs in my family, whether it's drugs or alcohol. And I think I was afraid for that to happen to me. So that's one of the reasons I quit drinking. But the main reason was because I just needed to instill more discipline in myself to be a better person, a better father, a better husband, and a better leader in the military. And I don't think alcohol really does anything good for me. Do I think I'm going to stay sober for the rest of my life? Who knows? But I think for the time being, that's the plan.
You don't need it.
No.
There's really no benefit to it.
No, there's no benefit to it. I had a couple of drinks a while back, and just because I was getting ready to do this race, and I'm like, you know what? I'll have a couple. Let's see where we're at. And I had two, and that was it. I was like, I don't need this. It's just like smoking cigarettes. I used to smoke. I smoked for years. And then I kept trying to quit. Couldn't quit.
How'd you quit?
Chantix. It was a pill that you took that made me realize I think I didn't need cigarettes. It was like it blocks. It was weird.
It's very hard to quit smoking cigarettes.
Well, this pill helped. Okay. 2 weeks into it, I was done smoking. And I haven't craved a cigarette in 6 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, because it's expensive. Seriously. It's fucking expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, and it's good horrible. For you.
And it can kill
it's
you.
Horrible. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it
right.
Will kill you.
I remember seeing those images, you know, in school. It's like, oh, your lungs, gosh, and your fingernails and everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, hair starts falling out. Which,
no, thank you.
Know,
you. My hair already falls out enough with
nah,
the
you
military
got some up there,
and
man.
My kids. It's
a little stress woo. Level, yeah.
Yep.
So what are some life lessons that you'd like to leave with the listeners?
Honestly, so when it comes to the things I like to say about social media alone is that people are afraid of social media. They're afraid to post. They're afraid that they're going to look funny or that people are going to make fun of them. Listen, first and foremost, I'm going to take, listen to me. People are going to make fun of you no matter what. The internet is mean. People are harsh. And if you go through the comment sections of videos, you will see that. Do not be afraid just because somebody's going to leave a negative comment. Post. Don't be afraid, because if it's something you're interested in doing, then you might actually be good at it. And you won't know if you don't try. And I think that's the biggest thing with social media is try it. Do it. That's with life. Like, you don't know if you're going to be good at something if you don't try it. If it's something that interests you, you need to do it. And that's the biggest thing that people ask me about social media. And it's like, don't be afraid to post. Have fun and don't listen to the haters out there, because they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
No, they're not. And if you are somebody that's had thoughts about the military, don't do it for the wrong reasons, and make sure you do your research, because I think the biggest thing is that people misconstrue the military and they don't realize what it's about, and they think it's just about war, and it's not. And for one, we're not at war right now. It's peacetime. For two, like, we off the guard alone, PA guard has like over 100 jobs that you can pick if you qualify.
Oh, wow.
So like unless you're doing 11 Bravo, which is infantry, if you're doing 11 series job, you're not going to be in the front lines. a lot of jobs that you can choose from to have fun and get some experience out of it. So, but that's really it.
Yeah. Before we close out, two things. How can our listeners connect with you and follow along on your journey?
Okay. So on both TikTok and Instagram, I am Sergeant Knucklehead, SGT Knucklehead. And then on Facebook, it's just Brandon Jacoby. So you J-A-C-O-B-Y. You can find me on Facebook. And I believe it's Knucklehead. It's just at Knucklehead on YouTube. I believe is what my YouTube channel is. I don't post much on there, but you're really going to find me on Instagram and TikTok. So follow me on there. Shoot me a message if you have some questions. And my cell's on there too. If you guys have any interest, any questions about the military as well, I'm here to help wherever I can.
Perfect. And if they're going to TikTok, when they get there, what's one video? Like, where should they start? I know you got a bunch. Like, what would you recommend?
Oh, man, there's
so, you got a lot of good content.
There's so many of them. I would go to the branch videos where I compare each branch. Now, I did just get in trouble because I'm making the Navy. I always make fun of the Navy.
Why?
And
what?
Guy, like, there's an ongoing joke that the Navy guys are kind of fruity. And we just make fun of that, but the Navy gets it. They know it's a joke. Branches make fun of other branches, but there's people higher up that weren't fans of that. So I'm going to have to stop doing that, unfortunately, but people love seeing that, but I can't get myself in trouble. So I got to stop doing it. But look for the branch videos, look for the Sergeant Miller videos, which I haven't posted in a while, but they're in there. And I just did branch video with my son, Dominic, where he dressed up in different costumes for Halloween and how each branch dresses their kid for Halloween. That one should be at the top on TikTok and Instagram. Check that one out.
Sweet. Okay. Before we close out, anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
Nope. That's it. We're cool. Good. Thank you for having me. Really, this was fun.
Yeah. It's great getting to meet you.
Absolutely.
You know, and I appreciate you coming on. It's really cool to meet. Like I said, you know, it's one thing to do it. You had said too, doing it remote, like video and stuff, but to see people in person.
To do it in person, I think it's better. I enjoyed this for sure. So I'm definitely want to do more of these. I was actually thinking about doing a podcast, but my wife said no. You do enough, Brandon. She's like, you already do enough.
She kind of got a good point. You got a lot going on.
I do. Like, if you we had a setup. My best friend, he's deployed right now. He had a setup. He had an apartment that had like an old style brick wall in it. Yeah. And he had a whole setup for us, and we just didn't get to do it. It sucked because it was like a nice. He had like his M4 in it, and the flag and everything. It looked so cool.
Oh, but sweet.
My wife was like, "No, Brandon.
Well, maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah,
okay.
We'll see.
If you ever need any help with the equipment setting up and stuff like that, let me know.
Absolutely.
I'm more than happy to give you some tips, some pointers on what I've learned over the years. This started back in 2022. Yeah, it was every other Wednesday. Now it's been every Wednesday morning.
Well, that's good. Like every Wednesday, that means it's growing.
Yeah, it's been fun, and it is growing slowly. Like I said, I don't have the numbers you do. We talked off.
Yeah, well, it took me a while to get to where I'm at now. Instagram is different. Like, unless you're doing similar content to other people, or you're stitching their videos and copying them, you're not really going to be very successful on Instagram. It's going to take a while. And of course, now that you got to pay for that blue check.
Yeah.
You pay for that blue check. If you don't, I feel like your account, your views are not where it needs to be.
I think that
because,
too.
Because like videos that used to do good on Instagram before that happened aren't doing that good on
Instagram. Yeah, it's like Instagram. A pay to play.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm sorry, but I don't think I'm going to pay you $15 to have my own social media
bullshit.
Account.
Right.
No.
It's total BS.
And Instagram doesn't really, TikTok pays. So like, that blue check mark hasn't really affected TikTok, so I will post on there, but then I post the same videos on Instagram. But TikTok is starting to grow again, and I get paid monthly from there.
Nice.
Can't even complain. It's like $700-$800 a month to just post content.
Go.
Like, I don't post as much as I'd like to. Yeah. So if I posted more on there, I'd probably get paid more.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Man, I feel like we could go forever, but
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, if you're good to wrap it up, I'll wrap it
up.
Yeah,
we're good, man. Okay. I probably should get home and make dinner because my wife is not a fan of cooking.
Maybe we should edit that out. Maybe we should edit
I've told her that. Okay, I've told her that. So I think we'll be all right. I love you, babe.
Yeah, no shots fired on that one. All right. Yeah. Brandon Jacoby, a.k.a. Sergeant Knucklehead, a National Guard recruiter. Thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.